Well, good morning, everyone. We are looking at this topic of getting off the path and how easy it is to get off the path or be a little distracted of how Christianity really works. And we're looking at information versus a transformed life. And can you get caught up in just getting and learning and passing on information? And that's one of the messages and kind of patterns of our culture. So to get oriented with that is I have developed a small self-assessment quiz. And if you did not get the quiz, Elizabeth is going to help us. Raise your hand and she will pass out a quiz. Find a pencil. It's not a hard quiz. One of the questions is, what's the last movie that you saw? And we're going to make a point with that. No. It's what's the last movie that you liked? We don't want the movie you saw. We want the movie you liked. So anyway, keep your hand up, and Elizabeth will get that out to you. Find a pencil or a pen, and you can fill out some of those questions. So I am very excited about this topic, and I'm very this time we live in, and that I think and hope that the church is going to find its voice, because God and the church and the truth that the Lord has conveyed is the answer for the world and to the culture. It seems like, in some ways, this is my opinion, that the church has lost its voice of, what do we talk about? Do we talk about politics? Do we talk about this? Do we talk about these principles? But no, the answer is a life transformed by God. And so we're going to look at ways we can get off the path. And do we need this? Is it possible to fall away? Jesus was worried about his own disciples. He was talking to them and he said, I've said all these things. I have spoken these things to keep you. These are people who heard Jesus Christ, who were with him. If you ever thought, if you had good teaching, was there ever a better teacher, a better storyteller who would tell the perfect thing at the right time that people needed to hear? Never. He's the best there ever was. And even he said, I've told you these things to keep you from falling away. It was possible for the disciples who were with Jesus to fall away. It's possible for anyone. So why don't we pray and we'll get started, and then we'll take our little quiz here and look at some of those things. God, thank you for what you have said. Thank you that it is the truth in what you say, it is who you are, that will protect our lives and guard us from being distracted, from being dissuaded, from being stuck in a rut, from being discouraged and having no hope. Help our belief, help our faith, help us to trust what you say. Help me today to communicate what is good and building. In your Son's name, amen. All right. So we're looking at information versus transformation. If you have your quiz, let's take this piece of paper out, grab your pencil, and we're not going to grade this, and you're not going to turn it in, but for yourself, I'd like you to fill this out. Go through these six questions. This is an interesting thing. What I'm going to talk about, you already know. You know all these answers. But it's a question of, do we believe them enough to do them? So let's go through this, answer these questions to the best of your ability, and we'll go over them after that. I'm going to give you a few minutes for that. Thank you. that enough time for everyone? No? Okay. Why don't we get started? You can fill in some of the sections at the end while we go along. So what is information? There are several ways to define these terms. Information, facts provided or learned about something or someone. They're facts. Information is facts that are put out there that we can learn. Now, we live in an interesting time with the advent of the internet and social media and that platform. We can move information very quickly, almost instantaneously, around the world. Really a phenomenal tool and opportunity. So the ability to move information and to communicate has just escalated. It's really awesome. At the same time, it can be overwhelming. How much information do I try to digest from how many situations? What information is true versus just someone's opinion? How do I sort those things out, things that aren't beneficial or just false? But there's a lot of information available. And so in Christianity, we look at truth and things we're learning, and we see people who are very gifted in teaching. They find unique insights into the Word of God, and they're good at laying those out. People who are just gifted in seeing those, and it's inspiring. But at the same time, if it's just information, is it enough? Is it enough? And can we get caught up in really the part of the American Western cultural way? I don't think this is just a church thing. If you look at how we teach in school, how we teach in college, we set things up where, hey, you're going to go over to the school and you're going to sit in a chair for 8 hours and we're going to teach in a classroom setting information. We do that for years and we assume some of it's really needed, some of it's really good, but it's not everything. So, what is transformation? So, what did you guys come up with before I put my definition up? What's transformation? Anyone have a definition? Yes. Yeah, that's an excellent, permanent, yeah, a real, true change. Any other guesses or efforts at that? Yeah, changing your habits, a true change, not where information is, I'm learning about something. Transformation is permanent change. So the one I looked up here, transformation, is a thorough or dramatic change. A thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. I don't like the appearance definition, but a true change. So here's the problem with information. We can relate to information, but there can be no change. And I think part of the way we approach in America education today, it's, and I'm not saying it's all bad, but I'm saying sometimes that's a limitation, that we don't go far enough to bring true application of all this information. So we got to get into the next question. What is the last movie you liked? Anyone willing to say? I can only imagine. That's a good one. I haven't seen that one. Anyone else? Which one? You saw that? Wow. That was a good one. What else? Which one? Hidden Figures. Wow. Any others? Wow, there's a deep thinker over here, that's for sure. I appreciate that. Well, I'm shocked. you have not, no one has picked the most, I put money on this, that you would have picked the most popular, high-grossing movie out there, or we're pretending that none of us have seen it. What were you going to say, Kelsey? Yeah, okay. There, thank you. Thank you. There we are, right? So this is, now the truth is, no one really liked this movie. This is, no, I haven't seen this. I haven't seen this. This is part of the Marvel Universe of movies, right? So you have the Thor movies, you have the Iron Man movies, you have Captain America. Who am I missing? The Black Panther, right? So you have this whole series of, and then you have the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy, right? I have a plan, right? You have all these characters coming together, and I've not seen it. I just noticed that they show pictures of people walking out of the theaters like this, like they're overwhelmed and discouraged, and I don't want to pay $20 to be discouraged, so I haven't done it yet. Why do people go see movies like this? They pay money for this. Why do they like these movies like this? Yeah. What? I disagree. They want the information. Now, I'll give you an example of this. Thank you. I'll pay you a dollar later. You're setting me up. Now, my daughter called me and said, hey, my cat walked across my computer screen, my keyboard, and the display is sideways. How do I fix that? And you know me, I'm 52, and I'm a computer expert. And I go, let me look. I go on YouTube, and I type in cat walks across. And there's a couple buttons you press to rotate the screen. And I go, well, just do this, you know. That is good information, good practical information. There's tons of good information on YouTube. If you want to learn information, how come you didn't go look at that or things like that? How to change your light bulb, how to change your, you know, there's all types of, people pay to go see this. You can do it for free on YouTube. Lots of informational videos. People, what do they like about these Marvel movies? Yeah, what do you think, Dana? Yeah, what are they living through? Yeah. What do you think, Kelsey? They're entertaining, and this is just my opinion. There's something we connect with very strongly. There's a situation, if we lay out the plot, right? The world is ending, right? Or the world, something very bad is going to happen. And this small underdog group of people have to band together and transform the situation, right? It's not informational. We want to see we want to see it change. We want to see this crisis be transformed. That's exciting and engaging to see that. And they portray it in such an engaging way. So, stories about information, there's tons of those out there. We don't pay to go see those. We pay to see stories about a transformed, we find that inspiring, I think, because it appeals in some ways to aspects and qualities of God. We want to see good things happen, crisis resolved, relationship and peace restored. I think deep in our hearts we long for that. And these movies, some more than others, connect with some of those things. So, and that's why everyone's discouraged by the last movie, is it didn't happen, is my guess. So where are we in the problems in the world today? I think this is really a unique time. The problem in the world today, is it that there's not enough information. All the information is out there. If you sort it out, is the problem in the world today? There's not enough information. Well, actually, sorting through it all is overwhelming. Where do you go? Who is right? There's so many opinions. There's so many people who seem so sure of themselves. how do I sort it all out? And I think, biblically, the problem is there's not enough transformed lives. Transformed in a good way. Transformed in a holy, righteous, virtuous way. You look at all the things that are coming out in the news. People who are taking advantage of other people, or who did in the past. That's what's happening. If all the people who took advantage of these people in situations where people were vulnerable, well, they weren't virtuous, were they? And now it comes out. People in Hollywood, they weren't virtuous. They took advantage of me. Yeah, well, that whole culture has been that way for a long time, and it's coming out, and we don't like it. And sometimes we confuse information with transformation. You know, I worked for a construction company for 20 years, and I was working in an oil refinery. Now, I went to Purdue University. I have 2 college degrees. I have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in civil engineering. And I've had lots of classes. And we were in an oil refinery in Whiting, Indiana, at BP. It was actually Amoco then, back in the old days when Amoco still existed. And there was a big valve, actually a 36-inch gate valve. And we had to, me and the superintendent were going to do some work on it. He says, hey, all the guys are busy, and we've got to take the little bonnet off and just see if all the mechanism is working right. Just a little easy job. He says, all the guys are working. Let's go, you and I, do that. And I'm not supposed to do that because I'm a pipe fitter. I'm not a pipe fitter. I'm a college guy. But he's a pipe fitter. So we go over there, and we get up on the platform. And it's just he and I, so I grab the wrench, and I start taking the bolts out of the top. And he grabs the wrench out of my hands, doesn't say a word. He grabs it out of my hands, and he holds the wrench a different way, just a little thing, but it's much quicker because he can rotate all this, which saved a lot of time. He didn't say a word. He just did it. And I said, I have 2 college degrees from Purdue University. How dare you grab that wrench out of my hand? Who do you think you are? You want to see my diploma? And he said, if we do it your way, we're going to be here all day. Watch how I do this. Actually, that conversation didn't happen. That just happened in my head. Happened in my head. He had experience doing this. He had been doing the work. I had been in classes, and I had learned a lot of information. I had learned differential equations, which I've never used for anything in my life. I've had lots of math. I told the vice president of the company I was working for, I said, what types of classes have you had? He said, I've had this, I've had that, I've had differential equations. He looks at me and he goes, you know, in our business, we need to add and subtract. Can you do that? Yes, I can do that. But you know, in the practical life, transformation, sometimes we need to see how it works. And people who have done the work have that experience. He didn't have to say a thing. I says, oh, I see. This is a better way to do it. But it took someone who had done it. My college education didn't help me in that. I needed someone to show me that. So in life, you have a great experience. You guys, in the middle of your life, you really are in a unique position in life because you have some schooling. You may have a lot of schooling, but you have experience of life, and you know how things work. You know, you have enough life experience where the younger people haven't been through that fight and struggle as much. You have a unique view of what really works in life to offer other people. So God and Christianity calls us to live a transformed life. Let's see. Here this is. I appeal to you, therefore. Where is this coming up? Oh, there we are. Transformation. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. A living... Now, these words don't go together. A sacrifice is crucified. A living sacrifice. I'm to live a life for the one who came for me. How do you do that? How does that happen? Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Transformation that we need to be able to think differently. Otherwise, we're going to be caught up in the world's way of doing things, which we kind of see now isn't working too well. Aren't a lot of things falling apart? It's not working too well. Another place, Paul tells the Corinthians about his life. He says, this is what's happening in my life. Look at this verse. This is so interesting. He says, let's pull this up here. He's talking in the second letter to the Corinthian church. And we all, he's talking about himself, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. He says, my life, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. He goes, this is what's happening to my life. I was over here, and I am being changed as I follow, as my thinking changes, as I learn how to follow God. I am being changed, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. He says, God is working this out. Information left over here by itself cannot do that. It cannot do that. So what is the real struggle we're talking about? How did we get here and how do we get out? I think it's the difference between experience versus knowledge. If I look at how discipleship works, if I look at what Jesus did with the disciples, he called the disciples to follow him. He did teach them. He's the best teacher who ever was and still is. He did teach them, but they worked with him. They watched what he did, and then he sent them out to do things on their own. There was a process of working together. It was not really if I had to compare, is it like a college program or was it an apprenticeship? Kind of like the trades do. You know, I used to work with the pipe fitters a lot because we were a piping company. And the pipe fitters don't do a college program. They do an apprenticeship program. You have classes, but you work with guys. And if the guys know you're an apprentice, there's things they don't let you do. You don't do this, and we're going to help you, and you have to be with a journeyman. You're not allowed to go out on your own until you are qualified. I think discipleship is more like an apprenticeship. And that's the approach that we've adopted as a church, that we're going to work and labor together and do this process of living life together. So, how does this work? How do we do that to make sure we're on a path and not getting caught up of spending too much time learning information and not being involved in a transforming process in our lives and helping each other do that? How do we guard against that? Paul was talking to Timothy about this. Well, Timothy was a young pastor, and I find this interesting. He's talking about this process in Timothy's life. He reminds him that he has faith, of his roots. He says, I remind you of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother. This is interesting. He says, you have a history and a legacy of faith in your family, in your grandmother Eunice, and now I'm sure it dwells in you. He says, you have this faith. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you. He says, you have a gifting. You have a gifting from God in your life, but it's not on fire yet. It's there, but it's kind of just a little tiny spark. And you need to ever go camping and build a fire? What happens? How do you do it? You gather all the stuff to make the fire, right? And then you build it up. I was in the Boy Scouts, and I'm an expert at making fire. I am terrific at it. From my youth. But it takes effort to gather it all together, and you need to feed it. And then, after a while, everything gets consumed, and you need to feed it again to keep it going, or it simmers down. There's things you need to do to keep the fire going. The fire is a good thing in this case. So, if we're honest about how life works, true change, transformative change, is incredibly hard. It's incredibly difficult. For God gave us a spirit not of fear. I'm afraid to do this. I'm afraid to change. It's hard. But a power, love, and self-control. Do I feel empowered? Do I feel loved and cared for? And you know, I'm going, you know, I have a lot of weaknesses. As I look at my life, one of my weaknesses I really struggle with is I am just a disorganized person. My tendency is to get things going and get things half done, and then I leave it here and I move over there, and I say, I'm going to get back to taking care of that. And then I look, and I never got back to it, and it's like 2 years later. And I go, wow, that is a struggle. But God can help, and your struggle is probably different from what mine is, but to be faithful, God can help you in self-control that you can move forward. Are you afraid to change? Are you afraid to try this? Well, we need to connect more with who God is. So I need to wrap this up here because we are running out of time. So transformation, what can you do to make sure you're not caught too much on the informational side and living a transformed life? Do transformational things. Practically, if you spend a lot of time in the informational side, just in classes, just accumulating information, just being online even, it's not transforming. It's just learning is good, but there's limits to how much that can do in your life. If you take the advice Paul gave to Timothy, you need to work on starting a fire in your life. What do you do to fan into flames that all of us have the seeds God planted in our life? What do you need to do where that's alive and growing, a growing, consuming thing of God working in our lives? Work in church community. I think our church is phenomenal at partnerships, at teamwork. Everyone works here. Everyone serves here. That is amazing. And the last part is be accountable. Be accountable to other people. What are you doing? What are you thinking about? How are you doing? What are you working on in a safe environment? But boy, share that with someone. These are my priorities. These are my struggles. These are the things I'm working on in my life. You know, you have a lot to offer. Actually, you have what other people need. You have the life preserver. You have the answer. The honest truth is, a lot of times we don't think that way. We don't believe what we have to offer is really that valuable. I was reading a book. One of the books I found intriguing is called In Harm's Way. It was about the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. It was a long story, but dramatic story. It was hit by Japanese submarine torpedoes, and no one knew that it was sunk. And the men were in the water for over 4 days until they were discovered in a miraculous way. But what had happened was there was a Catalina PBY who had landed, and you can't land in the open ocean, and they knew once they landed they couldn't take off, but they said, these guys aren't going to make it. But some of the guys in the water, they'd been in the water and so dehydrated for 4 days, they were disoriented. They were trying to pull them into this plane, and they go, no, no, no. They didn't trust the people trying to save them. They go, they're Japanese. They're my enemy. They were so disoriented that they didn't trust the people trying to save them. It was heartbreaking for the men to watch this. They swam away. They swam away. You have the answer. You have the truth. And we need to grow in our faith that God will use us, and God wants to use us in a unique way in our relationships. And he needs to transform our thinking, because we deal with so many things. So why don't we pray, and we'll have the music team come forward. God, thank you that you are working in our lives. Thank you that you can transform us. Thank you that we are limited by ourselves, but in your power and your strength, we can be much more, that you are making us like yourself. In your Son's name, amen.